welcome everybody. Let's Talk Real Estate, your weekly BS with Barry Saywitz about the current commercial real estate market here in Southern California. As we take a no BS look at both sides of the issues driving this market today to find the best solutions going forward. With our man right in the middle, it's Barry Saywitz. Hey, Barry.
Hey, good morning, Paul, and good morning to all of our viewers and our listeners out there. It's Tuesday. We are back. I am Barry Saywitz, and we are going to talk some real estate. I'm excited about today's show, partly because I'm inside and it's pouring rain outside here in Southern California. I feel like it's sort of a weekly recurrence here. I am ready for springtime anytime it wants to come. I'm fine with that. But for everybody else out there and for everyone else around the country, I hope your weather is better than ours. And in the meantime, I am hopeful that you'll learn something today. What I've always said in all of my years of doing this is that it's important to surround yourself with smart people. It's important to make good business decisions and get good information. And that's what I'm hoping we'll give you today. And you can use it in your daily world. And so with that, I'm excited to welcome our guest, Jordan Wachter, executive, account executive, legend in his own mind, insurance guru with Bannister Associates. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, so thanks for coming in on a stormy day. I'm excited about today's show because what you do for a living is insurance. And so whether it's commercial insurance, residential insurance, whatever insurance comes through, it's something that comes up on a bunch of our shows when we start talking about cost of living expenses for folks or operating expenses for commercial property owners. And so I thought it was appropriate we'd do a show on insurance and talk about what the heck it is.
Well, yeah, it's a number one pain point for most people. And, you know, I hope you guys aren't tired because this may put you to sleep.
So insurance, if you don't have it, you probably need to get it. If you have it, it comes up every year. It's an annual policy, whatever that typically is. And then you have to renew it. And so I want to start with the commercial side of things, only because that's near and dear to my heart. But before we get going, your history in terms of how you got here today, you're a longtime resident of Orange County.
Oh, yeah.
And have seen the economy here grow. You have seen the development in a variety of the cities. And then now we're seeing redevelopment in areas that are older and have new highest and best use. And with all of that development comes new properties and new product, and those people all need insurance.
Absolutely. Got to cover the bricks and sticks of everything, and that's what keeps Orange County going.
So how did you get into the insurance business? Was there a moment in time where you woke up and said, hey, this is my thing?
I actually kind of backed into the insurance space. I grew up in the security and risk management sector with, you know, burglar alarms, fire alarms, et cetera. And I was able to view and see different risk at different levels by going into different factories and different businesses and different homes. And then when I made my departure from that particular career and was looking to do something that was using my mind more than my brawn, and I had been working with a gentleman that was in the insurance space, and he approached me and he said, hey, you have probably the highest aptitude for this space of anybody that I've ever met. All you have to do is learn the format and you could, you know, really thrive in this area. So I acquiesced and said, okay, yeah, I'll check it out. Went through all the schooling and everything that goes into getting your insurance license and went into the space, and I was able to walk into a building and assess what the risk was, or walk in onto a property or walk into a factory or what have you. And it was very simple for me to look at that and say, okay, this is where they need the coverage the most. This is what they need to focus on the most. Because a lot of those insurance policies out there are a broad brush. Or, you know, you're looking at a general liability. And they aren't all made or tailored exactly for what the risk is. So going into that and extrapolating the information that I need to go and take this out to market was rather simple for me, instead of going in and saying, oh yeah, I've got this, you know, this BOP policy or a business owner's policy for you, and it's, you know, a run of the mill, here you go.
Right, and part of it is customizing the insurance for what it is that you need or what you think you might need, and then combining that with, I guess, what you can afford and what makes practical sense at the end of the day, because there's a reason they call it insurance. It's a just in case kind of a thing.
Exactly. It's coverage. And it's to make you whole in the case of a catastrophe. So going through all of that being able to understand what the risk is the most important thing, because there's a lot of people that go through insurance school or get their license or what have you, and they just sell one product. And without knowing how to tailor that, it really makes it difficult for their insured, which a lot of people miss the light or miss the boat on it, where as an insurance agent, you're representing your insured. While you also are selling a product for an insurance carrier, it's most important for you to really understand what the risk is.
And it's your client, right? I mean, I don't want to give a pitch for insurance brokers, but I guess mm-hmm. I will. It's like hiring an attorney or an accountant. You don't have three guys to do the same thing, right? We use this in our business all the time. You don't hire three real estate brokers to find you the thing that you're looking for. You hire one person, and they will go shop around and they will understand the market and the dynamics and your needs and help you find a solution at the end of the day. True?
Absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. You hire your insurance agent like you would your attorney, your CPA. You know, you really want to take that seriously. And quite frankly, you want to pick your horse.
And the days of, I'm going to call State Farm, I'm going to call Mercury, I'm going to call Liberty, and then I'm going to get three quotes. I mean, that concept is sort of, A, not practical, and B, out the window. You should have somebody who's looking out for your best interest, and they will go shop it, and they will bring you back the multiple quotes. And so I want to come back to that, because that feeds into what's going on in today's market. But the concept of hiring a commercial insurance broker is you should find a good one and go with it.
Absolutely. And the what a lot of people don't understand, and I find myself educating more and more people on it on an almost daily basis, is that when you're in the commercial space, which is, you know, what we're talking about today, when you're in the commercial space and you go with a commercial broker, he's going to, if they're independent, if you're going with like a State Farm or a Farmers, they're captive, which is a little bit different. So if you go with an independent broker, they're going to go out to their markets. And as soon as they go out to their markets with their submissions, they block out all other brokers. So the days of going to, you know, oh, I went to this agent, I went to that agent, and they're going to go shop out for me, that doesn't really work. And the internet really, you know, messed that up for everybody, because people were able to go online and say, oh, I got just a quote here,
right,
I got a quote there. And it's not a realistic marketplace.
So, and people equate the Geicos of the world of getting auto insurance in 30 seconds online to, I could do the same thing on my home or my investment property. And it's just not the case.
Exactly.
So let's dive in, because I deal with this all the time, and we've talked about this on other shows. One of the most expensive costs of increase in operating expenses for commercial property owners in today's world is the cost of insurance, and especially here in California, but really nationwide. And so why is it that insurance, for historically, it would go up like taxes? It would go up 3-5%, some kind of cost of living. Even if it went up 10%, nobody cried, and you just renew the policy and you would chug along, because it was insurance and I only needed it if there was an emergency. And now the cost of it could be 30, 40, 50, even 100% increase.
I haven't seen necessarily 100% increase, but they are out there. I mean, if you're a fireworks factory in downtown Santa Ana, you're going to be looking
trouble.
At
it. You're going to pay high insurance.
You're going to have some troubles there. But, you know, realistically, the cost of insurance has gone up. I mean, we've seen a number of factors that have gone into that. And I think if we look at just going down the list of what those factors are, you know, everyone hates to talk about it, but climate change is a very real thing. We've seen more fires. We've seen more mudslides. We've seen floods. I mean, there were those floods out in Palm Springs not too terribly long ago, and it, you know, caused a lot of problems.
Or whether it's hurricanes in the southeast
or fires
tornadoes
in
or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So natural disaster, everybody pays for it? Is that how it goes?
It's kind of everybody's putting their number into a bucket, and when something goes wrong, everybody's number gets pulled. So it kind of spreads out that risk. And the history of insurance was diversifying risk and spreading out who's going to be holding the bill at the end of the day. So what a lot of people don't understand is, like, when Hurricane Ian went through and eviscerated Fort Myers last year in Florida, people here in California were paying for it. And when there's floods in Palm Springs, people in Florida are paying for it, or in the Midwest or what have you. So if you can wrap your head around the fact that you're buying into a pool of somebody that's going to pick up the tab when something bad happens, And when that gets paid out, everybody, whether it's a fraction of a cent, is going to feel that. So that affects the entire marketplace. Now, what we've seen that's a little bit different going into this market was that we had a little cold scare a couple years ago that everybody went home about. And, you know, they kind of put the whole world on pause saying, oh, people can't work. We're sorry about that. Go home. We're going to cap any rate increase.
So during COVID, people got no different than renters who didn't get a big increase. All of a sudden you come out of COVID and the carrier wakes up and goes, wait a minute, we haven't had sort of normal increases. Now we have inflation. And then combine it with now you have increased cost of construction. So everything costs more, materials cost more. So if there is a claim and we have to go rebuild somebody's building or somebody's house or whatever the case is, there was a fire, there was a flood, it's just going to cost more to fix it. So I'm going to have to, as the insurance carrier, shell out more money. Therefore, I need to raise everybody's premiums to cover my costs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There was such a cap on what people could do. Their hands were tied, whether it be from Sacramento or from the federal government, saying, hey, you can't raise the rates on these people because they've been, you know, impacted by COVID or what have you. And then the cost of everything was going up. I mean,
look. Well, now you have salaries going up.
People were still paying salaries. And, you know, the government offered a little bit of reprieve on that, but there is a lot that went into that. But then also, you, at least for the California market, you had people leaving California in droves. I mean,
people and you have insurance companies leaving, right? In droves.
Well, insurance gets impacted between 18 and 24 months in arrears of any big thing. So we didn't really feel the impact of COVID until 2 years after it all went down. So when it all came through and we started feeling the impact on the insurance side, that was when people were starting to get back going and everything. But the cost of everything was way up. So when you had a building that you had insured for $150 a square foot replacement cost, and to rebuild it because there's no more contractors around and the cost of lumber is through the roof and this and that, they're saying, we need to make these adjustments. And then the hands were tied from Sacramento's perspective saying, hey, you can't make up for lost time just because COVID's over. So they said, okay, we're leaving. We aren't going to take this risk because it's going to cost us double to rebuild that building that just burned to the ground. And you guys aren't allowing us to charge the premium that we need to make these guys whole.
So now what happens is in real time, the people that are left, there's fewer players. So you have more or less competition, I guess I'll say. But then you also have the people that are realistic about it in terms of the carriers who look at it and go, okay, so a building that used to cost $150 a foot, we're going to underwrite it at $300 a foot. And I remember it used to be that the lender would actually, if I got a loan on a property and I refinanced the property and I got a bigger loan than I had, then the lender would require that the insurance would be increased to at least match the loan or would get reevaluated. But now it's really the other way around. Now it's the insurance carrier who's saying, look, it's not $150 a foot. It's not even close to that. So we're going to underwrite it based on $300 a foot. And then what happens is if your property is, let's just pick a number, was $1 million, it was worth $1 million to replace it, or the estimated cost to replace it if there was a catastrophe was $1 million. That million might be $2 million, which means theoretically your policy could go up 50% or more.
Yeah. I mean, across the board, there's been increases in insurance, you know, between 15 and 30% over the past 12 months. That seems like a scary number, but it's really just a market adjustment. And, you know, it's not making things uninsurable, but they're starting to look at the common variables that they're seeing in the space. So, like, if you own an older building, whether it be apartments or
with a balcony or with a rooftop deck or if you have
a pool.
Older stairs, right? Pool. All of these things, which weren't a big deal, now all of a sudden become a bigger deal.
Well, they're looking at the things that are attractive to young children. And it sounds really weird, but you look at a banister that, you know, goes to up to your second floor of your pool community or what have you. They say, we want this up to code so a kid can't squeeze through it. we want a fence up to code so they can't climb the fence and get into the pool when nobody's watching.
And now you have companies sending inspectors out to do inspections, not so much on the residential side, but certainly on the commercial side. I've lived through it, where they come out and they make a laundry list and they tell you, hey, you have to fix it. And you have no choice. You have to fix it. Otherwise, they go, if you don't fix it, we're going to drop you.
Yep.
And so not only are you getting, as a property owner, somebody else looking at your property and making a list, not only are they reevaluating the cost of if there's a catastrophe, then let's assume for a second that you have a claim. Right now, as a property owner, you have to decide, is it a big enough claim to be worth making a claim? Whereas in the past, the average person might say, oh, I had a water leak. Oh, I had damage. My first call is I'm calling the insurance company, and now it's, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to open Pandora's box because it's going to affect my premiums.
And that's kind of where your broker comes in, and that's why you have that trusting relationship with your broker. So you can call your broker first and say, hey, this is what I have going on. What should I do here? And they're meant by design to be that intermediary to look at what your coverages are, look at what the pros and cons are, and say, hey, you know what? It's a couple thousand bucks. Your deductible is a couple thousand bucks. Just take it on the chin and do this because the carriers are getting real skittish about this.
And it might be that it's 10,000 or 20,000 because the cost of the increase in the premium it's going to come back to you. Whereas, and people didn't, I don't think, really realize in the past, like if I make a claim, I actually could get dropped, right? I mean, oh, my policy might go up. It might be a little bit of a premium, kind of like getting a speeding ticket. Yeah, my driver's insurance may go up a little bit, but you'd never think that somebody just call you when your policy's up in a month or write you a letter and say, hey, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's happening more frequently now. And with carriers exiting the state, it's gotten a little bit more complex.
And so Paul, I know, is listening intently over here in the background because he brings it up all the time. For the average person who has homeowners insurance, for example, which applies to more folks than on the commercial side, but it's the same concept. My policy comes up for renewal. Are you getting people, whether it's commercial, whether it's residential, regardless, they call you and then they say, hey, I want to go shop around, look at other options for me. My carrier just jacked my premium by X. And then you go shop around. Is that part of today's world?
Oh, absolutely. I'm getting calls from people saying, hey, I live here on the water in Newport Beach and I've been with Mercury forever. And now I just got a 25% increase on it. I've never had a claim before. What can you do? And our response is, we can go out to our markets, but they're very limited. I mean, Safeco, which is a division of Liberty Mutual, they used to be one of the biggest writers in Southern California. And they're saying, hey, you can write 3 policies a month. That's it.
And even when you do, it's not like, oh, it'll be back to yesterday's price. Yesterday's price is, I mean, as much as you don't want to be the bearer of bad news, kind of like when we on the real estate side, somebody says, what's the market doing? I go, you don't want to know because you have yesterday's rental rate or yesterday's price on whatever. And then you need to wake up, right? I mean, yesterday's number is gone.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just like everything else. It's gas prices. If you looked at gas prices back in 2003, people were losing their mind because they were starting to put 3s at the front of those numbers. But now you're looking at it, you know, 5, 6, 7 bucks a gallon, where depending on where you go. Like I was in Beverly Hills the other day and it's 7 bucks a gallon. It's crazy. That price is never going to go back to 3 bucks a gallon. Like doesn't matter who's in the White House, who's in Sacramento. Those prices are never going back down to where they were before. So it's just going to incrementally go up, but also the cost of everything's gone up. Cost of a gallon of milk has gone up, and it's never going back to, you know, sub-dollar range.
So the person or the company who decides to go shop around, you do it for them, right? And you show them their options, but I'm going to, only from my own personal experience, in most, if not all instances, you just take whatever your current carrier has, unless it's such an egregious increase that there's somebody else out there that is willing to do it. But otherwise, you have to, it goes right to the bottom line. I mean, this is just more money from a property owner standpoint that is just out of their pocket that they can't recoup. You can't pass that cost on typically to your tenant or anybody else. You're just taking it.
No, and it definitely hurts the, you know, commercial, you know, apartment complex owners or, you know, rental property owners, because like you said, you can't pass those savings along to your tenant, your hands are tied on how much you can increase rents every year to adjust for the market. And you're going to be going through all of this, and it really makes it difficult to understand and see this to be profitable.
And so let's break it down by property type for a second on the commercial side. So if you've got a retail lease or you've got an industrial lease, and that lease is triple net, I know from our side of the business that the cost of the insurance goes up. The landlord does have the ability to pass that cost through to the tenant directly. Mm-hmm. So if the cost goes up 25% and I have a triple net lease and with my single tenant industrial tenant, he paid it, right? It's mm-hmm. not my problem. Yeah. The problem is my tenant's pissed because they basically their rent went up for no reason, and the landlord's pissed because it didn't go in his pocket. It went in somebody else's pocket. Everybody's sort of worse off, right? And so then if you look at it on a retail center, you're potentially spreading that risk or that cost among multiple tenants. So maybe it's not as bad, but still goes right to the bottom line. On the office side, you have a pass-through. And so, again, indirectly, you are paying the incremental cost of that. On the apartment side, you, as an owner, you're just eating it. I mean, you can't pass that stuff through to your tenant. And so that one just made your operating costs go up.
Oh, yeah. And it affects your cap rate and, you know,
and affects the value of the property at the end of the day. So let's fast forward, because a guy goes to sell his property. The cost of insurance that the current owner is paying will definitely not be the cost of the insurance that the new owner is paying.
Most likely not.
Because he's got to go get his own new policy. The policy doesn't transfer with the sale. I don't get to reap the benefit of, no different than the taxes. The taxes get reset. I don't get the benefit of somebody else's taxes.
Well, this is kind of the fly in the champagne on commercial property acquisition, like exactly what you're saying. You don't get the same rate as what the current owner is, but you don't know when he wrote that policy. He could have had that policy written and had a broker that's not paying attention to those adjustments. And it could be at that $150 a square foot replacement cost that's all getting calculated at. And also, they haven't gone out and reinspected it as frequently as...
Right, that guy's flying under the radar. Yeah. He didn't have any claims. And then if you're a buyer, I guess buyer beware, right? Like, you need to go get a quote for insurance. I don't care whether you're buying a house or a commercial or investment property. Go get the quote for the insurance before you actually sign on the dotted line to make the deal. Because the number that the broker is giving you or that someone is telling you that their cost is not your cost.
Oh, and a lot of those numbers maybe not be real numbers.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, oh, no, my insurance on this is, you know, $6,000 a year. And in all actuality, the real cost of insurance is, you know, $13,000-$14,000.
Right.
And it gets really convoluted there. And this is where it's falling back on the commercial real estate brokers, where, you know, I get calls every week saying, hey, there's this building. What would this cost ballpark? And I go, I can't give you a ballpark.
Because you have to go submit an application. Yeah. You have to go through the motions. You can't just estimate. Well,
there is no ballpark anymore.
But brokers used to say, oh, it's so many cents a square foot. Or, right? Yeah, I mean, I'm right. You know, like, oh, it's 2 cents a square foot. That's like when gas was a nickel. But you can't do that.
No, you can't do that anymore. But also, what's important is if you're looking at a property, find out when they actually did any kind of updates, whether it be the roof, plumbing, electrical, HVAC. Those are the heavy hitters, and those are the things that you look at. Those are the capital improvements that need to happen to maintain your property. But also, the underwriters are going to look at that and say, hey, you're buying this property that was built in 1961, and they haven't put a roof on it in 25 years. We're guaranteed to have some sort of roof leak on a day like today when it's raining.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to pay a claim on it. So we're going to go ahead and decline to quote on that, because that's a risk that is coloring outside the box of our parameters. So really look at those capital improvements when you're looking at a property, because those are going to be the indicators of what's going to dictate your rate.
And if you have old plumbing or you have old wiring or you have old air conditioning or old roof, as you say, these are dead giveaways, right? And so as a property owner, if you're planning on keeping the property, right, the advice would be go ahead and make those within reason where you can afford them, because at the end of the day, you're going to have to make those improvements anyway, but it will help you on the insurance side.
Absolutely. Right?
And if you don't do it and you just decide to cheap it out or kick the can, you likely will just pay extra. Well, one, you'll pay more later on to do the roof. And then number two, your insurance carrier may hold it against you.
Exactly. And, you know, it kind of what you're saying. Like, if this is a legacy property that you're going to pass on to your kids, make the improvements. It's going to ensure that you have happy tenants. It's going to ensure that you keep a decent rate on your insurance. And, you know, when the day comes that you go to sell it, if somehow you want to shift your portfolio, you can go and sell it and say, hey, I did the roof in, you know, 2020. It's a 30-year roof. You're good for a good long while. Or I changed out those electrical panels. Because that's a huge thing now.
And these are the first questions that an insurance carrier is going to ask on the questionnaire is, what have you done? Right. Yeah. And so the more you can say you've done, I think the better off you're going to be. But it does put a new wrinkle into the deal. I mean, I've blown deals recently in the last couple of weeks because somebody tells me, as you say, the insurance is $3,000 a year and it's really $13,000 a year. And then the seller says, well, I'm not going to give you any accommodation for it. And I go, well, that number applies to everybody in the world but you. And so maybe you just want to keep the property because you kind of have a good deal.
Yeah. And you know, with those updates and everything that goes along with that, the carriers have gotten wise to it. There's not really a fudge factor anymore. They're going to send out an inspector that knows, right. Or right. They're going to ask for some sort of documentation of like, okay, you did the roof in 2020. Let me see the receipt.
Yeah. And the insurance carrier, I don't think really cares. If you said, well, I'm going to do it, they'll say, fine, you have 30 days to do it. So you can't like BS them, and no pun intended, but I mean, you can't do it, right? They give you 30 or 60 days. That's all you get.
Exactly.
So it's interesting. And then in terms of filing a claim, the other issue in today's world is if I have an older building, they will require the upgrades that didn't exist before. So now my claim is even more expensive to provide those upgrades because you can't go back to yesterday's electrical or plumbing or wiring or any of that stuff. And then in older properties, you potentially may have asbestos. You potentially may have water damage if it's a roof leak or a pipe leak or something. And then now you have the remediation that goes along with it, which is just not cheap.
And that's what is another factor that's driving premiums up, is that it's not just going in and fixing what's wrong. It's saying, okay, we're going to fix what's wrong, but also the authority having jurisdiction, whether it be, you know, the city or the state or whomever, they're going to say, hey, you need to bring this up to code now.
Yeah,
because you've opened it up for surgery. You got to fix it now.
Yeah. And in the case of California, if you have asbestos, you actually have to go to the state agency, right? The AQMD, the whatever that stands for. And then you have to – I had this at a property. I had to write a letter. They would not accept an email. They would not accept a fax. I had to write a letter in my own handwriting. And this was only a couple of months ago. This is like real world.
I've seen your handwriting.
Yeah,
so
it's
that's
terrible.
Interesting.
And so I don't even know how they're going to read it. But I had to write a letter and I had to sign it and I had to be an original. And the company who was the vendor had to come and pick it up. And then I said, why does it have to be original? Are you going to drive it over to their office? Like, aren't you going to email it to them? And they said, no, we have to send it in snail mail. And then they have to review it. And then it's 2 weeks. I said, but I have people that are displaced. Right. And then how does that go? And they said, yeah, that's the process. Right. And then you can apply for like an expedited review based on the fact that it's an emergency. And then I guess it speeds it up by a few days. I mean, it's still just a ridiculous process. And then on top of it, you have to go fix everything. And then it's a big deal. So I guess, you know, as a property owner myself, I would just say to people out there, if you have to file a claim, you file the claim. But if you don't have to file the claim and you can get away without doing it, you got to be cognizant of what the cost and the disruption is going to be. And I'm not saying to cheap out the repairs. I'm just saying if you have a asbestos, you have a water leak, you have a major leak, you need to file a claim. But if it's something minor that you can get a plumber to fix it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm never going to steer somebody away from filing a claim. However, you have to take in those variables and do what's best for you. And if it is a catastrophic loss and you know that it's going to be something that generates a claim, file it quickly, because insurance and those claims mitigations and everything that goes along with it
takes time.
It moves at a glacial pace.
Yeah.
And people expect it to, you know, have your magic insurance guy just pop up out of thin air like on the commercials. And it just doesn't happen like that.
And which brings back to the tenant side of insurance, whether you are a commercial tenant and you have to get commercial liability insurance, which would cover these sort of catastrophes, not for the building itself, because that's why the owner has a policy, but for your stuff inside the building, whether that's your factory equipment, whether that is your product, whether that is desks or other things that you would have. That's what that policy does. And people, I don't think, really take a close look at how much coverage or what kind of coverage they really have.
Oh, yeah. On the business personal property line item, that's really important. And people don't pay attention to it. Like, they don't pay attention to, you know, what all of this stuff costs. And I tell everybody, when you're trying to calculate your business personal property, it's not just your inventory. It's everything. It's printers. It's that Bluetooth speaker. It's this thing, whatever it is. You know, put all of that into a cardboard box, dump it out on the ground, and tell me how much that's worth.
Yeah.
And that's how you calculate it.
And same with renters, right? So if you're renting an apartment or you're renting a home, please do yourself a favor. I mean, we put it in all of our leases, but we are not the renter's insurance police that come and knock on your door and twist your arm to get it. But when there's a problem and when there's a roof leak on a rainy day and it drips on your stereo and it wrecks it or your TV or whatever the case is, that's what renter's insurance is for. And it's not the landlord's responsibility. And then it may be worth it in those instances to file the claim and you'd get new stuff.
Yeah. And there's a lot of ancillary benefits to renter's insurance. I mean, Southern California, we have a unique circumstance where you can go for a bike ride on the beach in the morning and you can go skiing, snowboarding in the afternoon. And the renter's insurance covers you on the liability side that a lot of people don't realize. Like, if you get into a skiing accident, you hit somebody, that's on you. So the renter's insurance actually covers you on that liability side. Or, you know, you run somebody over on the bike path down in Huntington Beach, it's going to cover you on that personal liability. And that's the cheapest insurance that you're ever going to get.
No, cool. We could do a whole nother show on that one. But I mean, we've had folks, they leave the garage door open and their $1,000 bike gets stolen out of the garage. It's covered by renter's insurance.
As long as it's not an e-bike. E-bikes are a sticky situation.
Good to know. I'm going to write it down.
Yeah.
So I said it would go fast. It always does. Paul's waving at me. He wants me to come up with a magic wand as to how we make his personal insurance go down. And I'm going to tell you, you're out of luck. Your best option is to call Jordan and see if he can get you any better of a savings. And I guess, Jordan, I would say in terms of advice for folks, you know, whether it's commercial policy, residential policy, whatever it is, these are annual policies that come up every year. Right. So it seems to me like best advice would be start early. Right. And get expert advice and get somebody to help you and then go shop around in advance. Don't wait till there's 3 days left on the policy.
Oh, absolutely. It takes much longer to go through the quoting process now. A lot of stuff has to go to a long desk in London and they're going to look at it on paper and get their abacus out. But, you know, going through all that, you're absolutely right. Start 90 days out. If you see a renewal come through that it, you know, curls your hair, then, you know, figure out, talk to your existing incumbent broker, say, hey, what are you going to do about this? And if they say, oh, well, that's the best rate that we're seeing, you know, as a market trend, then maybe it's time to go shop and find another broker. But like I said earlier in the show, pick your horse. Because if you start going to multiple brokers, they're going to go out to market.
They're just going to trip on each other.
And they're going to be blocked all over town. And it really just hurts the end of the line insured. It doesn't necessarily hurt the broker. It'll piss them off. But other than that, it only hurts you when you're trying to do that. The online format of like, oh, I can go here, I can go there, all these direct riders. They've screwed up the concept of how insurance actually works.
So what I'm hearing is start early. Pick your horse, get a good professional to be able to work with. Keep your property up and do the maintenance that needs to be done if you can. And hold on to your horses in terms of when that renewal comes and make sure you're sitting down in many instances. So I guess my final question is, where's it going to go from here? Will it continue to go up at the same kind of pace that it has been, or is there going to be some sort of leveling off?
No, I think we've bounced off the bottom and we're on our way out of a hard market. It's still a very hard market in the insurance space, but Sacramento's opened up the doors to allow for the market correction increases that we're all seeing. And also the price of materials is going down. I mean, if you looked at a sheet of plywood a year and a half ago, it was astronomical. The cost of lumber went down 46% last year. So it's coming back to some state of normalcy. Is it going to go back to the way that it was? Probably not, just like everything else.
Yeah.
So it's getting better. I'm not saying that it's going to happen overnight. It may not happen in next year's renewal. But at the end of the day, it is getting better. And the theories and the ways that all of these carriers are calculating their algorithms on what risk costs and what's what, it's getting better. Technology is getting better. So they're able to really assess the risk at a higher level instead of, like I joked around, that, you know, the underwriters are playing with an abacus. They have a very complex calculating algorithm that they're using, and it's getting better every single day.
And all we care about is the consumer, is what am I writing the check for? And it's going to go up to some degree. I think we're all pretty certain of that.
It's going to eventually come back down to where you're getting, you know, those 5 or 8% just standard market adjustment premium increases.
But you're already at the next level.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how can people find you or learn more about your company and be able to contact you? What's the website?
Our website is BAI-INS.com. It's Bannister & Associates Insurance. We're based in Huntington Beach, and we've been around since the 70s. So we've seen pretty much every hard market between then and now. And we specialize in those, you know, hard to place risks. And I write absolutely everything from workers' comp to wedding rings. But when it comes down to it, I love bricks and sticks. It's so easy to write. It's something that I'm very fluent with. So when it comes to the property market, it's a walk in the park, where a lot of people may say, I don't know the difference from one panel to the other. When the carriers are saying that you have, you know, fuses, what's a fuse? So, yeah.
So insurance, it is a fact of life, whether you like it or not. Yeah. Jordan Wachter, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts and your insights. It's I think Paul feels better about it. He's not really smiling for those who can't see, because he got a big increase. But better times will come. Much continued success to you and your family and your business. Appreciate you coming on the show. I am Barry Saywitz, president of the Saywitz Company. And for everybody else out there, we'll be back here next week. We'll be talking more real estate. A special thanks to everybody here at OC Talk Radio for helping put this together. And we will see you back next week on Let's Talk Real Estate.
Well, there you have it. You've been listening to Let's Talk Real Estate, your weekly BS with Barry Saywitz about the current state of the real commercial real estate market right here in Southern California. On Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studio here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.